This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Did you ever find Bugs Bunny attractive when he'd put on a dress and play a girl bunny?
No.
Neither did I. I was just asking.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Didn't we lock you in a dumpster one time?
I got out.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
That's somebody's daughter up there.
I was just going to say that.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Dynamite drop in money. That broadcast school has really paid off.
The Fan. I'm just a bachelor.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour at Dirt and Sprague on a Tuesday. Thank you for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Not sure what's up with this rain, but nothing can rain on my parade.
It's supposed to rain for like the next week and a half.
Doesn't matter. I'm going to be inside watching basketball every other day.
I actually prefer not to see the sun because I do feel like a lazy SOB.
Right.
Because my wife and kids will go out and play and I'll be like, well, I'm in here watching TV.
Open the window. I'll hear you yelling outside. By the way, speaking of rain, did you see the whole Portland gear controversy?
Yeah, I'd caught wind of that yesterday. I guess they, well, you gotta be careful how you word this because it is on the radio. I guess they were being accused
of stealing
somebody else's shirt design.
Shirt design,
yeah.
And then they call it Rain City, which I also asked.
Nobody calls it that.
I don't even want to be known as Rain City.
I mean, we kind of are, but you don't reference it.
Well, not necessarily. I think Seattle and like Vancouver and like
there's others. Say Portland. I've heard before, oh, it rains a lot there. And I'll go, oh, yeah. But I've never heard
said
Rain City.
Rip City. There's Rose City.
Yeah, not Rain City.
Well, and that designer.
It rains far more in Seattle.
Again, I'm not going to say steal because I don't want to be implicated in this. But on the topic, that same person who designed the shirt that found out they were selling a similar look also had like four other examples in the last 5 years or 4 years of design shirts that they kind of followed.
Ah, that's not ideal.
Yeah.
Before you get going.
Sure. Oh,
this better be breaking news.
This better be big. Did we just sign Jimmy Butler?
No, not that exciting.
Dang it.
As it pertains to the 7th annual Fan Golf Classic presented by Cooney Lexus of Portland, both afternoon rounds are now sold out.
There you go. Look at that.
So the only round available is the morning of Monday if you want to come and play. So
I'm going to be honest about something very quick.
Look at us pushing some product.
It's going to be party time.
Pushing that weight.
Yeah. I'm actually a little disappointed that your news wasn't Kevin Durant officially out for the whole series.
Yeah, that would have been big news.
I am happy.
We did, by the way.
That we sold it out, but I'm a little disappointed it wasn't like Kevin Durant is not going to play in the Western Conference Finals.
Good job, Buzz. Good job, Buzz. By the way, we did have I love our listener sources. We have really good listener sources all over the sports world.
Love our listeners, man.
Like, they are just on top of stuff. We have a guy that texted in saying the scuttlebutt out of Nike.
What is that?
Is that Kevin Durant actually ruptured his Achilles and Nike and him don't want the news out yet.
Wow. Drop the bomb. Drop the bomb on him.
Yeah. So stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
Game of Thrones over here. Dragon everywhere. What's going on? Take cover! Rupture Achilles!
Love it. Love it, love it, love it.
That's awesome.
Well, so there's that. That was a lot of bombs.
Yeah.
That was a lot of bombs.
Well, dude, that's a pretty big story if that hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, Nike's covering it up, man. They don't want it out yet.
So I'm going to text my Nike source.
Text your Nike guy. We'll see.
Does everybody owe then Reggie Miller an apology?
They could. If Reggie Miller ends up being right on that, like everybody ridiculed Reggie for jumping to doctor and saying that that's an Achilles injury.
Do we kill Rudy Gay then in turn?
Yes, because
Rudy Gay was like, that's not what you, it doesn't look like what you think it is.
Right. And we all credited him for being the wise one on Twitter. So.
See, now here's the thing though. I'm not going to apologize to Reggie for that because I'm not one that likes to tweet in injury situations. And I was thinking the same thing he said, right? Weren't you? The way he came up, you're like, that's an Achilles.
Yeah.
I don't think you should kill somebody for, it wasn't like he's like, I know that's an Achilles. He was like, that looks like an Achilles.
I mean, it did.
That's kind of his job, right, is to just give his opinion as he's thinking it.
We have a new listener source saying, I work for Barbie. He says that KD is actually dead, and they want to keep it quiet until game four.
Oh, my God.
So now,
weakened at Bernie's game three.
Is he on the sidelines, or is he not on the sidelines tonight? And if he is he wearing sunglasses?
Is he being propped up by Boogie? Boogie has his arm around him the whole time.
We need to investigate.
Coach, we got to go to the bathroom. So he rises up, and he's holding KD. He's like, why are they always walking together?
He's just hopped up on pills. He'll be okay. So there you go. I love that. Hey, game one of the Western Conference Finals is less than 4 hours away.
Oh, dude, I'm getting more and more excited for this as the show's gone on.
Now, I'll ask this. I know, like, it's just weird because we haven't been in this situation in 19 years.
Yeah.
And you were going against a team that, I mean, for essentially the last 4 years, 5 years, been unbeatable.
Dude,
right?
It feels like this is prom senior year. It's going down.
Right. Oh,
I don't know what to do tonight. Oh. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, okay.
Where does this go? I don't know, but it's got to make it. You got to make it fit, and we got to make it work.
Wow, yeah, so somehow it's going to figure itself out,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Well, it will eventually in 4 hours. Where's the confidence level? I guess tonight and the series are almost two different questions too. But they win game seven, and a lot of people thought they were done when they were down 3-2. They come back. A lot of people thought they were down in the first half of game seven. Like, this is over. They're done. Now here we are. We're going into game one. There's no Kevin Durant in the lineup. But the numbers are terrifying without Kevin Durant in the lineup. They're 24-1 without him over the last 3 years. That is incredible. Where's the confidence level right now?
To win, I think the confidence level is, I'll keep it at what I thought. I think there's a 60-40 type feel where you're just kind of leaning, okay, Golden State has the advantage here, but I give Portland such a good shot, man. I don't know. There's something about the team that the fight that they show, the relentless attitude, the never quite out of it type vibe, that matters to me. And I'll say this as the guy that did pick against him in round one. I also picked Denver in round two. They have shut me up twice and made me look quite foolish. I'm going to pick Golden State again.
Keep going.
I think Portland has a real shot to win this. This is not, little cute Portland story.
Happy to be here.
Happy to be here. Media and fans buying into the cute, fuzzy, feel-good story. I think they can play really good basketball. I think their backcourt has the chance to outplay Clay and Steph. And if they can do that, they will find themselves in a position to pounce and potentially pull the upset here.
I think this is wide open. I'm really curious. I would not lay any money one way or the other on this. I think there's a lot of questions about how both coaches view the matchups, if they want to cross match in terms of the guards, those sorts of things, how they're going to decide to do it, how much we will see bigs at all in this versus, you know, if Rodney Hood can go, will he be in there in Livingston and we'll play five smalls and a lot of switching and interchanging and running guys off threes, and how much transition will there be? Golden State, even if they get I'm not going to panic, obviously, watching what the Blazers have done. If they get behind by 15 or whatever in the first half, we've seen Golden State, you know, go to sleep basically at times out there on the floor. So, and they're just as susceptible to cold stretches shooting threes. They get stuck in ruts. I think the chess match between Terry Stotts and Steve Kerr with Golden State not having Kevin Durant is going to be the most interesting aspect of this game one.
Do you go big? When do you go small? How does Cantor play?
Do you try and put Cantor out there and go to him and force Golden State to try and guard him, see if you can get
attack Draymond if they go with the smaller lineup with Cantor out there?
Yeah. Well, I think if they go Cantor, I don't know if they'll go with Bogut. They'll have Bogut or Looney, one of those two, to at least have a body on him. I don't think Draymond can, because Cantor will just go right down on the block and he can just little jump hooks. There's nothing Draymond can do. He's, you know, just nothing he can do if they get him down there.
Well, but I think of game one, what I'm looking forward to is how they D up Portland and what Portland's response to that is. Like, if it's Clay and Iggy on Dame and CJ, they have a clear size advantage there, but is there anything they make changes on, right? Hiding Steph, how they deal with that. I think watching Portland and watching what their response to defense is from Golden State is the big thing to circle for you, because if they can go get buckets and they're matching them point for point and they're not looking like it's hard, I don't know how, even in game one, you're not sitting there going, man, we have a real shot at this thing. Again, not going to be easy.
No.
These are the defending champs. They have the toughest mindset of any team left in the league. They know what it takes to get there. They know what it takes to get by a team. And they're not taking Portland for granted. They are not walking in going, oh, the cute, fuzzy little warm stories here. They know what they're capable of. They've been on the worst end of the beatdowns. They've been on the Dame Lillard 52 points, blow you out following the All-Star break, blow you out going into the All-Star break, Dame hitting a game winner in Oracle. They've been on the other end of it. They're very, very aware of what Portland is capable of and how can Portland match the intensity and focus that Golden State will come out with tonight. Yeah. Again, they're great in game ones. They've only lost one time, and their best quarter statistically is the first quarter.
They jump out on you.
Yep.
Jump out on you. We'll see if Portland can avoid that tonight. Where's your confidence level, not only for tonight, but the rest of the series? 55305 is the Bet You Today text line. Also, what are your keys to the series? We'll continue with this. We have a poll question on the non-Dame CJ factor that needs to go in Portland's direction. We have the numbers behind how the two backcourts have matched up at this point in the postseason. Also, audio from Terry Stotts and Damian Lillard talking about this matchup and being in the Western Conference Finals. We're just off and running. Still more Blazers and Warriors next on 1080 The Fan. Well, so much is going to be made this entire series about the backcourt. Like, quite often when you get into those rankings, those offseason rankings, who are the best backcourts in the NBA? You go Steph and Clay, and most people, not all, but a lot of people would put Dame and CJ number two on that list, which, by the way, they don't have a nickname.
I saw an Instagram picture where it said the Splash Bros versus the Rain Bros, and I hate the Rain Bros.
What about the Wet Bandits? Because they got... No, not good.
It's our calling card.
It's our calling card.
Clog all the sinks. Turn them on.
I mean, it's wet, right? Wet. Oh, that's wet. You say that when people still say that? Is that still a basketball term?
No.
No.
There's not a nickname for them, is there?
No.
Dame and CJ?
So ESPN, NBA.
I can't think of anything.
People have been trying to do this for a few years now, and nothing has really stuck for them.
Well, let's get a nickname going. 55305, Better You Today, text line. Because ESPN, the NBA on a ESPN account, sent out a tweet saying the Splash Brothers versus Dame and CJ. And they had the numbers behind what they've averaged. Now, granted, you have to, like, Golden State's numbers are just going to be different because, one, Kevin Durant played most of the postseason. He's only missed five quarters, right? He got hurt in the third quarter of game five against Houston.
Yeah.
So their numbers are going to look slightly different as it would have been if Kevin Durant per se had been out for the entire postseason. But up until this point in the postseason, Dame and CJ are averaging 54 points per game combined, shooting 38% from three, and averaging 9.5 assists per game. Okay? So 54, 9.5, 38%. Stephen Clay, 42.5 points. So you're up 12 points there. But again, KD factor. 6.8 assists. So you're about three assists ahead of him. Also shooting 38% from three. So the numbers from three, at least in shooting, are identical. But Dame and CJ averaging about 12 more points per game. That, again, would likely change without Kevin Durant in the series. But that is the one thing that I think keeps me coming around on this. Is like Dame and CJ themselves can be streaky. We saw that depending on the matchups. Like Dame had a tough series against Denver, yeah, outside of a really good game six and a really good game one, even though he had some turnovers in game one. And then he had some big shots in game seven, but it wasn't a great series throughout. Steph and Clay themselves, though, like you look at them throughout the postseason, really until game five, Clay was having a terrible series against Houston. Steph was struggling mightily throughout big chunks of that series. He didn't get it going until the fourth quarter of game five. And then he came out in game six. He didn't make a shot. And then he scored 33 points in the second half of game six. So these guys can be extremely streaky as well. And I think that'll be one thing that I look at throughout the course of the series is, can you capitalize the way Houston didn't? Like the fact that Houston was tied at game six at the half with Steph Curry not making a shot, that game's over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all. Like, Steph Curry's not going to go an entire game without scoring. Like, eventually, he's going to find a shot, whether it's 33 or 20 in the second half. He's going to get it going eventually. And you have to be able to capitalize. If there's moments they come out, Clay brick, Steph brick, turnover, Clay brick, and you can just tell they're kind of in a funk right in that time, you have to strike.
Well, how many points did you say they averaged? 42?
42 and a half.
You know what they got in game six?
60.
60.
60, yeah.
So they understand.
Which is what Damon CJ scored in game six.
Well, they know that when KD's not there, they're going to get more shots, more opportunities, and they took advantage in game six. Again, I think there's a little more to it as well. When you talk championship pedigree, right, the Stephs, the Clays, the Draymonds, those guys kind of the nucleus of what they've done. Let's not undersell Andre Iguodala, who hasn't been amazing offensively, but we know he's capable, and we saw this in the finals a few years back. We've seen this in various playoff games the last couple of years. He's very capable of coming in there and randomly dropping 24 points. And you go, oh, they lost because Andre Iguodala couldn't miss, right? You look at their bench. You pull up the box score just from their last game. This is their bench, which, by the way, 19% of their points have been scored from their bench this postseason. That's the fewest of any team by a big margin. Jordan Bell, Jerebko, Alfonso McKinney, Kevon Looney, Quinn Cook, Sean Livingston. Now, Looney might start because they go Cantor, but that's basically your bench. That's not terrifying. And so if you can put yourself where you're matching Clay and Steph and they're having a good night, but you're kind of matching them, you're just right there, you're going to rely on the guys like Evan, yeah, like Mo, like Myers, like Zach, like Rodney, whoever, Seth, to come in and hit it. And if they can get it going, your bench could provide the spark just enough for you to edge them. Again, this is not to say that Golden State is this almighty vulnerable team that you should beat. It's to simply say they're more vulnerable than they've been the last few years.
Yeah, which is just a fact.
Yeah, there's no arguing that. Their bench is a real problem for them. And in the games that Steph starts 0-for-8, as you just alluded to there a minute ago, the games where either one of them can't get it going or both, boy, you lose those games, you're not winning this series, because yeah, those are the games you look back, just like Houston did in game five, and you go, okay, well, we had opportunities there, and we allowed them to dictate everything, right? Steph in the second half had 23 points. He was unbelievable in that game six. Or no, he had 33 in the second half.
Yeah,
he had 23 in the fourth quarter, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
But Steph dictated the second half of that game. Clay really carried him the first half. You have to be able to just go back and forth. There's going to be so many different things I think we point to through games one, two, three. But wherever the series is, I'm almost wondering how much is just going to be hinged on Clay and Steph versus what Dame and CJ do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of the time in the NBA playoffs, that's what it boils down to.
It can.
Your two best players.
Well, and Dame and CJ, because you mentioned the 60 points, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's what they combined for in game six in the win over Houston. That's exactly what Dame and CJ did at home in their game six must win against Denver. They both combined to go, I think, for 62 points, I think, right? One had 32, the other one had 30. So they have proven that they can have performances like that throughout, and I think that becomes really critical. Because if Dame and CJ are getting outscored by a decent chunk against Steph and Clay, it's going to make it really difficult for Portland to win. Just because I agree with you that the bench and maybe the role players you can get more production from, especially the guys coming off the bench for Portland, because Iguodala is still a bit of a wild card. But if Dame and CJ can match them point for point, and you're looking up at the box score in the third quarter, and you know they're kind of in that 40-50 point range combined, you do have the ability elsewhere to outscore Golden State, in my mind.
How much do you think we see Jake Layman in this series, and how significant a contribution do you think he can make off the
whose
bench?
Whose minutes does he take?
Rodney Hood's
Myers,
potentially
Leonard's.
In game one.
Who's Myers going to guard?
Yeah, Myers could be finding him. I mean, he found himself on the pine at moments during the Denver series.
Yeah, he played a chunk in game seven, but that's because you needed a big body to get Jokic, you know, under his skin a little bit. But he didn't play at all in game six.
Richmond, I mean, we know this, but Richmond had said it yesterday. Stotts is kind of a creature of habit, right? And when Layman went to the bench at first, a lot of us like, what's going on here? If you look at the numbers, he really wasn't playing well. Maybe it is a series that Stotts rolls him out. There's no Rodney Hood, so it's like, okay, we need a small forward out there. Let's see if Jake gets it going. If he does, I can't imagine that leash is very long, but I don't know. You get to a point where it's not about 8-9 man rotations. It's really your seven.
You saw that in game six and game seven. They didn't play hardly anybody. I mean,
no, they rolled with their dudes that were contributing, and that was that.
You had a starter that played 7 minutes.
I mean, that's what Golden State's going to be doing anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, you know, it was so difficult with Jokic there clogging the lane. Millsap was in there as well. But I look, Golden State, they don't have a shot blocker.
No.
Looney's the closest thing they have to it. I think Portland can attack the rim rather than Mo spotting up in the corners. I think if teams overplay, I think you're going to see him slide on the baseline and try and get some of those dunks. I think Lehman can do that too. You can throw lobs to him. I'd like to see Portland really attack the rim. And if they do that and force Golden State to hedge a little and not come out so far to guard the three all over the place, I think that's what will open things up.
Well, and I don't know what Cantor is going to be like physically. His production offensively dropped off. But if he gets it going, that to Swigard's point, I think you could, if you score on Jokic, you could score on Kevon Looney.
Yes. Yes. Or Andrew Bogut, who played 12 minutes. And he got this. Andrew Bogut got the start in game
six. They don't want to play Andrew Bogut. He's the big stiff now. They signed him because they needed a body.
Well, they needed a body for Boogie, and he knows all the systems, so they didn't have a lot of time to indoctrinate it. He knows what they're doing. He can step in and give them 10 minutes if they have to.
Now, let me ask you this, and we've kind of flirted around the answer to it. By the way, we'll hear from Dame and CJ, or Dame and Terry Stotts here coming up in 5 minutes from now in the bottom of the hour. But I asked this poll question. I'm curious where people are going to go, and I'll give the results at the end of the show. And you can respond to this at the text line if you want to as well. But, like, so much is going to get wrapped up in Dame and CJ, and rightfully so, and Stephen Clay and how they match up and all that kind of stuff. But as we saw, even in a Game 7 win, it took little tiny things here and there, right? You know, Zach Collins playing a good stretch of defense, or, you know, Evan Turner coming up with 12 points in the fourth quarter, or Mo Harkless not getting down, responding to getting back in the lineup in the second half and giving you a decent stretch on both ends of the floor. It's those other kind of outlier factors that can be important. So I asked, what non-Dame CJ factor will be most important for Portland to beat Golden State? So taking Dame and CJ out of the equation, the four ones I came up with were Aminu and Mo Harkless getting it going because they're off of terrible series, Zach Collins continuing to play the way that he played in Game 6 and Game 7 and giving you consistent minutes, especially in the second half with that second unit. Rodney Hood's health and being able to come and play and score and be effective despite the hyperextended knee, or the bone bruise, I think is what they called it. Or Seth heating it up, because we saw Seth have some big games against Golden State this year. He enjoys playing against his younger brother, and it's a good rivalry for him. So which of those non-Dame CJ factors is most important to you?
I'm going to eliminate Seth, and if he gets it going, great. But if you're,
that's just a bonus kind of.
If you're making me choose, I mean, some of these are kind of equal ground for me. You're naming two players versus
two for
one.
The price of one. I know.
So it's hard not to pick that because you're hoping two guys contribute, and that would mean a lot more. But just for the sake of keeping it to one guy versus two, I'll go Zach. If Zach can limit his turnovers, and I think he's got the athletic ability to hang with Green, and he's got some dog in him. He's not backing down. You hit a couple jump shots, you change things for yourself. I think he's got a lot of confidence right now. So of those, I mean, I want to go Aminu and Harkless, but if you stick it to just one player, I would go Zach.
Oh, I would go Aminu and Harkless. I think their ability to force Golden State with their starters and how they want to match up to Dame and CJ to not be able to ignore them at the offensive end, that changes what they have to do and will give either Dame or CJ. I think if they are threatening offensively, whether they start miraculously hitting threes for Chief or a guy like Mo who decides to cut and slash and get to the rim, and so guys cannot turn their heads, they can't come out as far, they have to stay closer to the baseline to provide help in the paint if Mo takes advantage, then I think either Dame or CJ, one of them is going to get one-on-one coverage or get more space on the floor to get it going offensively.
Well, we'll give you the responses to the poll question at the end of the show as we wrap up our Game 1 conversation. Let's hear from Damian Lillard and Terry Stotts on the other side. Also, keep your nicknames coming in for Dame and CJ. We got some really good ones at the Better You Today text line, 55305. We'll read some of those, hear from the point guard and the coach coming up next. T-minus 3.5 hours till Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. Welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague, thanks for being with us on a Tuesday.
I'll give you one of all the names we've had text in about the brothers thing. And I love that it has to go brothers.
Yeah, why does it have to be? But brothers, I mean, that's, you know.
Whatever. Of all the ones I've read, I think this one is standing out the most, and it makes sense. Cash Bros. But does that, I guess when you say it out loud.
Yeah,
I
didn't, you know.
The Cash Bros.
The Cash Bros.
I mean, he is doing the Hulu thing.
He is.
But CJ's not.
No, no. What about the logo bros?
CJ doesn't
shoot from that far back. No. All right, let me rattle through some of these. We got Rose Brothers, Bomb Brothers, the RIP Brothers.
See, why aren't we all doing brothers. the brothers thing? I don't
Big
know.
Shot Brodies. That was kind of funny. You can't go Brody, though, because then it makes you think of Westbrook. The Northwest Partnership. Sounds like a law firm. Homeless Problem Bros. The Streaky Bros. The Voodoo Bros. 420 Legal Bros. The Trail Brothers. I kind of like Trail Brothers. Sanctuary City Bros. The Logo Lillards. Logo Lillard and Mr. Midrange.
I swear to God, if you're Antifa, if you find an Antifa one on there, I'm quitting.
There will be an Antifa one. Don't worry. Shark Bros. Damon CJ equal Grits and Gravy.
Grits and Gravy?
Katie Brown Boys. The Bucket Brothers. It's been thrown around. The Rose Petals. The Grim Bros. The Blaze Bros.
Imagine they ran with Rose Petals.
The Rose Petals.
People would not be intimidated when you came in their building.
Court Killers, Bucket Bros.
I like that.
Christian Dame, El Diablo, and Magic Man.
Magic Man.
And the Antifa Bros.
Did you just add that one?
No, it was texted in.
The Antifa Bros?
Mm-hmm. That was in there. So there you go. I don't know if we came up with a good one there, but...
Nothing sound. I mean, look, I appreciate the effort here, but did any of those stick when you heard them?
No, I don't think so.
I'm trying to think if I was doing play by play and
if that would work.
I'm trying to think
away from bros, but it's really hard to come up with one.
Yeah.
Ebony and Ivory.
The Silencers.
The Silencers.
Ooh,
that's pretty good.
That's not bad. Got something to it. The Ice Tray. Okay, let's hear from one of the members of the Silencers. Damian Lillard talked leading into game
running
one.
Running with that one?
Is that the one we're going to go with? Drain City duo. Here is Damian Lillard talking about proving everyone wrong.
It's always been, you know, a cap put on what we could do. And, you know, it just felt like after each season, a lot of people thought they were right because we would come up short in the playoffs and got swept back-to-back seasons. And we just kept believing. We stuck to what we, you know, have been building. We stuck to believing in each other. So to get over that hump and to make it to this point, you know, it's really rewarding, you know, just because we know that we've leaned on each other, we've worked hard, and we've been to the bottom. We felt what the bottom feels like. So to get here is, you know, it feels like a great accomplishment, but it's not done. You know, we're not showing up here just to say we got to the Western Conference Finals.
He said that after the first round. We didn't come here to win one series. It was right. By the way, Mick Lillard. No, I'm just thinking about McDonald's meals.
You better get us to some nuggets every game.
Can we get some Mick Lillards out there? But I love that perception, and he's right. And we have all been guilty of this. We've always kind of put a cap on what this team, as orchestrated, could accomplish. And so far this season, they've done nothing but prove us wrong.
One vote for El Diablo and the Magic Man. Now you see me.
Now you don't. Backcourt's back, all right. Oh, God.
I do want to point this out. This is going to be the Bubba Brandon thing to say of the whole show.
Uh-oh. Womp, womp.
I do want to point out that most of the pundits on ESPN, because everybody's tweeting the pictures out of the, I don't know, 15 people that pick games for ESPN.com.
Yeah, they all took Golden State.
Most of them picked Portland in the last round.
To beat Denver.
Yes.
Yes.
More people picked them to beat the Denver. They weren't the...
I know, that... That's one of those things that Portland does. Like, chip
I know
on the
we
shoulder.
Love the underdog thing, and that's great.
We do it every series. We did it against OKC. There's a reason people are picking Golden State.
Yeah,
right.
Well,
like,
I think people
different.
Would pick Golden State no matter who they were facing.
No, and no matter if this was Denver or Portland, everybody probably would have taken Golden State.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm not going to get caught up in that. Go prove everybody wrong. That makes it that much more enjoyable. The other fun part, there's two cool things in this series for me. One, outside of just being in the Western Conference Finals, the larger stories is Dame, who we just heard. Like, it's cool. Like, he gets to go home. Like, that's a really cool thing. And
it's the last year in Oakland, too.
The last year in Oakland. He's from Oakland. He had a great story I saw today. He was talking about memories as, like, a fourth grader, and his family used to occasionally have season tickets back when they sucked and they were cheap. And he went one time, and the mascot, they used to have a mascot called, like, the Flash or something. And he walked down. Him and his cousin stayed out for the game, and they walked down into the bowels of the arena, and everybody was gone, and there was no security because it wasn't a good team and nobody really cared. And they found a backpack, and it was the guy's suit. The mascot suit. And they were like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And then the mascot guy came walking around the corner like, hey, what are you doing in my backpack? And he like had that memory of meeting the mascot. Like, you just put yourself in those shoes. Like, imagine going somewhere else, coming back to Portland and playing in a moment like this to knock off your hometown team. That's really cool. The other fun part about it And Portland's kind of had this calling card now for most of the postseason. I think since they shut up Westbrook, and most people don't like Westbrook, everybody in America is rooting for Portland.
Yeah.
Like, you now have that. You are now America's team a little bit here for the next week and a half.
That goes back. Dieter Kurtenbach is a writer, and I kind of want to get him on during the series. He tweeted something to the effect in round one that America wants the Warriors to win. And he did this by proving the ratings thing. He was like, let's play the ratings game. Golden State gets the best ratings. Portland game one against OKC, mind you, this was during Tiger Woods' master win.
Sure.
Was down like 40%. It was one of the lowest rated games they'd had. And he just kept defending and not backpedaling about how America really wants Golden State. This is going to be the one where he might be right, but I'm going to disagree. I think people are rooting against Golden State in this round.
Everybody's going to root for Portland.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're a Golden State fan, I get that. Like, Warriors fans, no doubt about it. Of course you're going to root for your team. But, like, put yourself in, this is Denver. We're all rooting for Denver to win this series.
Hell yeah, I am.
If this is San Antonio, I don't care who, any other team, you're rooting for that team to be Golden State.
LaMarcus might be the one exception for Portland fan to go, yeah, you're right. I am rooting for him to go get a ring.
And somebody said, Skip Bayless picked the Blazers, curse or no curse. Yeah, let's just leave that alone.
Paul Pierce picked him in game seven.
That's true.
He went off to a great start in his prediction center.
So you're telling me expert predictions have nothing to do with the outcome of a game? Is that what you're telling me right now? Let's hear from Terry Stotts, shall we? We mentioned the bench potentially being a big impact for Portland. Here's Stotts on his bench.
In the Denver series, our second unit was invaluable. Our bench made the difference in that series, in what they were able to provide in almost every game, individually and collectively. Golden State, we'll see how that works itself out. But one of the things as a coach you're proud of is that when various players contribute to your success, and the Denver series was, I thought, very indicative of that.
No doubt about it. Bench was huge.
Yeah. I mean, you don't win game six, you don't win game seven without your bench, your role players. They're going to need the same thing in this series too. Even when Steph and Clay are cold, again, there is something to a team being on this stage and knowing what it feels like when those cameras get going and the tip starts versus the team riding the high, the momentum, playing good basketball, but never been at this stage. There's something to that. And even if Steph and Clay are cold, you're still going to need a collective effort to get a split out of Golden State. And I can't imagine how insanely loud the Moda Center is if they come back with a road split.
No doubt. The Bridgetown Ballers?
That one's not bad. I like that one.
The Mighty Mice? No. That's still a little too Damon Stoudemire.
Yeah.
How about the Rack Attack?
You got to think about hearing it on ESPN all the time.
The Rack Attack.
House of Highlights. Like the Splash Bros.
Yeah.
It's actually quite perfect.
That's good,
of a nickname for a backcourt.
Well, and that's all. I mean, it's Oakland. They have the Bash Brothers.
Right.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Mr. Downtown and the Bye-Bye Man. I love that.
We're just going old school.
Mr. Downtown and the Bye-Bye Man.
I was thinking something, something a little more military-esque. Because what they are, they're kind of like snipers.
What about buck hunters?
Well, you're not playing the Bucks.
Yeah, that's in 2 weeks.
Warriors.
The gruesome twosome.
You're going snipers, huh?
Because that's kind of what they do. There's a precision to what they do.
That's true.
The Golden Eye guys.
The puddle floaters.
What? Did you say the puddle floaters?
I'm just reading them.
Sometimes I feel like you're not really reading them. You're just making ones up.
That was texted in a second ago. The drain drops.
Yeah. Damian McCollum, do you just come? I don't even know what you do at this point. I think the nickname thing is failing and failing hard.
What about the bingo, bango, bongo bros? That's a bit of a tongue twister. The Assassins, Torch Twins, Step Back Squad. Ooh,
Stumptown Surgeons.
And somebody texted in, the wife and I are just still stuck on the Wet Bandits. I think Wet Bandits for the win.
Wet Bandits?
Wet Bandits for the win.
All right.
Let's call them the Wet Bandits. It's their calling card.
Okay.
Clog up that sink, baby. Clog up that sink. All right, final game one predictions. We'll get you all set. Also, I promise, just briefly, a Stephen A. Smith rant. It's worth it. Next on The Fan. Hey, Dirt and Sprague, sticking around here for Manscaped.com. Don't let the rain fool you right now. because that hot summer weather is still around the corner, even though we got kind of blessed with it there a little bit earlier this year. And that means you're going to be on the beach, you're going to be at the pool, and you're going to be hot, sweaty, and sticky. And that's where Manscaped.com comes in.
Do me a favor. Before you judge what we're saying, go to Manscaped.com. That's Manscaped.com. And you go look at what they have available. It's grooming kits. It's lotions. It's body washes, trimmers. Hell, they even have t-shirts and wine available. Manscaped.com is the website you do not want to forget.
And Sprague's wearing that Manscaped t-shirt today. Also, do me a favor. And the next time it's like one of those hot, you know, sweaty, sunny days, lean over in your car as you're driving around. Just give yourself a sniff test. You're going to need some ball wipes. I'm promising it.
Absolutely. Dirt has important information of the package that you can get. But know this, 20% off using the promo code FAN at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off. Using the promo code FAN at Manscaped.com.
Yeah, keep an eye on the Perfect Package 2.0 kit. Comes with the Lawnmower 2.0. It's awesome. Manscaped.com. Use the promo code FAN. Trust me, fellas. It's well worth the investment. Yeah, a lot of people texted in saying that apparently Dan Patrick tried to name them the Rain Bros. Made t-shirts.
Yeah.
I don't want to be associated. I don't like rain. I don't want that. Well, Rain City. I don't like rain.
I just think it sounds stupid, to be real honest with you.
Yeah, I'm not...
Sometimes you swing and sometimes you do miss. You don't hit a home run every time, no matter who you are.
Yeah, we got to live in the rain. I don't want nicknames to be associated with the rain.
The one that we're going to do a poll question on this, and again, the poll is not going to be indicative of how everybody feels. We are getting some support on the Wet Bandits.
Hey, my Wet Bandits idea is taking off. I think we should make our own t-shirts called the Wet Bandits.
You're kind of playing into the rain thing, but you're saying wet.
Wet as in, that's like a basketball term, though.
I know.
Back in my day of hooping, we used to say wet. Did you used to say that, Swagger? Was that around in your time too?
No, that was after my time.
Well, after his.
Okay.
That probably came in around our time. I remember saying that in pickup games in high school.
Oh, that's wet.
Wet.
Wet. So there is a game one tonight. We'll get to that in a moment. I do want to play this quickly. I saw this and I couldn't pass this up. How long is it? Like a minute or so? Yeah. So the draft lottery is tonight. We're going to find out who has the number one pick.
Okay.
Before the Blazers play.
Yes.
Stephen A. Smith, on his radio show, had an impassioned plea for the Knicks to get the pick.
But if this is an effort to believe that the spirit of Dave DeBuscher and that experience from 1985 is going to descend upon the Knicks organization, now, I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. I mean, what is next? You're going to tell me that James Dolan is going to sit up there and just descend his grace upon us? Am I supposed to believe this? Huh? I mean, this is... Look, man. I am suffering. It's hard to take. How many years? I'm not talking, I'm talking to you as listeners of this radio show, as a native New Yorker, but I gotta admit, Jonathan, I gotta admit, John Winthrop, I'm talking to God himself. I need prayer, I need my prayers answered for just once. Please, please, please. Just one time.
To which if I was God, I would say,
Stephen A., you make $10 million a year. I've answered your prayers. Leave me alone. The Knicks suck.
That was a pretty good God voice. I'm not going to lie.
Thank you. Now I have to worry about other things.
Who listens? Anyway.
How do you deal with that for 3 hours? That's every segment.
That's tonight. Yep.
Every segment of his show.
I still, one of my favorite clips of all time is when the Knicks took Porzingis in the first round. He went on SportsCenter and had one of those kind of rants. What the hell are we doing? Just yelled for like 10 straight minutes.
I think he also got upset. I think he also got upset when they traded him, which is ironic. Given the reaction when they drafted him.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, I thought that would be fun. Enjoy that audio. Stephen A. Smith ranting about the lottery tonight. None of us really care about that because there's more important things at hand, and that is game one of the Western Conference Finals, which begins at 6. Are they all on ESPN? This one, ESPN game tonight. You're going to have the big-time crew, though. Got the. Can I get a brain bang? We have not had one yet. He's done like 2 or 3 Blazer games, and I don't feel like I've gotten a bang.
He usually does the bang on a long, timely three, and it was CJ hitting mid-range, so it's not really a bang-worthy.
I thought he had one on...
You can't bang a two-pointer?
Yeah, no, I thought he had one when Dame, that first three hit on the offensive rebound.
In the corner?
No, the one at the top of the key. After
I don't think that was. Did he bang there?
Oh, I'd have to go back and listen. Like, I thought he gave it a bang.
If
for
there
that
was
one.
Ever a bang, if Breen was ever going to bang that game, it was going to be bang off of the turnover Jokic to Lillard, who
that
then
was
threw
a huge
it out.
Shot.
Ran to the corner. That was huge momentum builder.
Like, that's my go-to. Like, when they hit a big shot and I go to Twitter, I go all caps, bang.
Sometimes,
like, everybody does that, right?
Bang! Oh, sometimes when I play pickup, I'll hit a shot and go, bang!
Right?
I love that.
So hopefully we get some of those tonight. A couple of poll questions to answer.
We call them the Bang Bros. What? They hit a lot of threes. What's the problem with that?
Might be a bit of a trademark issue there.
What's the trademark issue? Is that going over my head right now?
Isn't there? What non-Dame CJ factor will be most important for Portland to beat Golden State? 41% of people say Aminu and Mo get it going. 28% say Collins' big impact.
I would have appreciated you telling me before I Googled on a work computer what Bang
Google.
Bros is. That wasn't good.
Just go ahead and add the .com and see what happens. Let's get loose.
don't do that.
90% say Rodney Hood. 12% say Seth. Stepping up. Also, game one tonight, who are you taking? 64% of people taking Portland. I believe they are 7.5-point underdogs.
Give me Portland plus 7.5, baby.
Okay. Do they win tonight?
I hope so. I hope so. Hey, Golden State, the one thing they've been doing these playoffs, especially the whole Houston series, every game against Houston was within 5 in the last 5 minutes. That's all you are looking for if you're Portland. And then the Bang Bros can carry you.
That's such a fun way to end the show. All right, give me the Blazers tonight, too. Let's go, baby. Game one, Western Conference Finals. I can't wait. The Wet Bandits are going to go off tonight. They're going to be wet all over that floor. Thank you for being a part of our Tuesday, everybody. Brian Scalabrine is going to be on the show tomorrow. Casey Holdall is going to be on the show tomorrow.
Busy, busy little show we've got.
Like, I mean, let's just be honest. It's going to be about 3 hours of game one reaction.
Also, Del Curry told me to F off when I went for an interview request, so sorry about that. Hey, Del, you talk about kids. Cool moment. I'm good. Go away. Don't ever text me again.
Nah, I don't want to hear from you ever again.
Thanks, Del.
All right. Hey, enjoy it tonight, everybody. It's been 19 years since we've watched a Western Conference Finals game in Portland. Go Blazers. We'll see if they get the win. We're going to talk about it all day tomorrow. Thank you for being with us. Talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.